This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Chris issued a bit of a statement there, and Stan was going to comment before we ran out of time and had to start a new segment. But a little bit later, we have a few questions from our listeners from the Question Bank and the Paracast forums we'll get to.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about some more head-scratching cases that would indicate we're dealing with something either that's flesh and blood and has some wild talents, or is something that possibly is multidimensional, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. Well, a couple cases just come to the top of my head. You had mentioned Ohio Pyle. Well, that was the case that really convinced me and my team that we were dealing with something much more unusual. I remember a date. I remember that very well. February 6, 1974, deep in the mountains up there in Ohio Pyle, near Ohio Pyle. The listeners on your show will remember this time period because, one, we had a big national trucker strike and there was gas rationing going on around the country. But there was also a lot of violence on the roads. So back in Pennsylvania, the state police and the National Guard were patrolling together. And both of them responded to this incident deep in the mountains of February 74. I wasn't able to get gas in my town of Greensburg, so I had to wait till next morning till I could get up to the scene. It was a very intriguing case. And I remember this woman who lived up in the mountains all her life. She knew animals very well. She was a very good shot with her shotgun. Everything was normal until this one particular evening when she was sitting there watching TV, and she hears this commotion on her little front porch of her cabin home. She had some empty pop cans out there. Someone was knocking the pop cans around. A few weeks before, she had a pack of wild dogs coming through. So she figured, oh, I bet those dogs are back. So she thought, you know what, I'll grab my shotgun. I'll just fire over her head and scare those dogs away. So she loads one chamber of her shotgun. She makes her way over to the wall, turns on the switch for the outside light on her porch, and she proceeds to go to the front porch, opens up the door, and she walks out, no dogs, and there standing in front of her, a few feet away, is this huge, hairy, Bigfoot-type creature with its arms straight up over its head. The many, many times I interviewed her, she never called it a Bigfoot. She said it looked like a great big hairy ape. So what does she do? She aims her shotgun at it, and she fires right into it. And she said there's this bright flash of light, like the flash on a camera, and the creature physically vanishes right in front of her. 100 feet away, her in-laws lived. They heard the gunshot, and they called her on the phone and asked, like, what are you shooting at? And she tries to tell them. Her son-in-law, he grabs his pistol, and he starts making his way up that dark road up towards the cabin, and he sees a figure running down the road. But he says that he got closer. He was surrounded by 4 or 5 hairy people with eyes like coals of fire. He started shooting and randomly ran into the cabin, and it was about that point when they were looking out the window, and they see this large object with different colored lights on it, like a big Christmas ornament hovering over the woods at the same time. And that's when they called the state police. By the time the state police and those guardsmen found their way up to the mountain up at home, whatever was going on, well, it wasn't really back to normal, because I talked to the primary state police investigator, and he said, I don't know what happened up there, but if something was really weird. That he based on the animal reactions. Now, I told you, I've never personally seen a UFO Bigfoot myself, which is true, but I have been out on the scene within minutes after some of these Bigfoot encounters. So this has been noticed in various type of livestock and horses and cattle and cats, and different people have told me about seeing this different times, but it's been very apparent in dogs. That even the most vicious dogs, when they're close to these creatures, they just are like completely paralyzed. They won't bark. They don't move. They cower. They hide. People told me they've watched them inside of their pens, and their eyes will move around, but they won't make a sound. That's something that's been very, very common. And people told me that sometimes 2 or 3 days later, it took before the animals would get back to eating properly. Another thing that was interesting about that case, here's one of the many little tidbits I uncovered about the Bigfoot. You don't hear about a lot, but I've had numerous cases over the years where people were encountering Bigfoot and other phenomena on their properties, and they would talk about hearing this strange metallic sound, like tearing metal, something hitting metal. And here she's talking about the metal, the cans of pop that were knocked around on her property at the time that attracted her to go out to see the creature. But that was the case, among others, and that wasn't the only case I have like this, which suggested that we're dealing with something more than this flesh and blood nature.
Chris, you want to move to a couple of questions?
We have some really good questions from Erica Red, who's been a forum poster since January 2013. And he doesn't come out very often, Stan, but you know, our better guests like yourself tends to bring out the better questions. He's got a whole slew of them here. He's wondering if you think it's likely that Bigfoot exists, which obviously you do. And being that's the case, aside from the evidential problem that precludes many people from accepting its existence, do you think that there's a psychological barrier to accepting it? Perhaps the idea of another bipedal, highly intelligent, and roughly human-like creature somehow upsets our human identity. Why do you think people have such a problem accepting the possibility of Bigfoot?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not just the people who have never seen one that have a problem dealing with. It's also the people that once they see it, yes, for many people, it's very emotional for them. Psychologically, some people claim, you know, that it's affected. I mean, I know witnesses from years ago that had these encounters, and they still can't deal with the fact they know they saw it. They can't believe they encountered something that's not supposed to exist. That's the whole problem with the phenomena. You know, I've interviewed hundreds of people who've seen these things now. The high percentage of people are those who, again, would never believe that these things could exist until they had their own personal encounter, especially hunters. I've interviewed many hunters who have spent years and years out in the woods. I remember one guy years ago, he was hunting in an area, and he noticed that day, from what I recall, that he hunted in this area all the time and generally was fluent with wildlife. He goes out, he's walking around for hours. There's no birds, there's no rabbits, there's no wildlife sound. It was just like everything was gone. Very common in areas where Bigfoot has been around for a short time. And he said he began to have the feeling something had been following him. And it's getting about dusk, he starts returning to his vehicle, and he happens to turn around, and he looks, and up on the hill is this huge, hairy, 8-foot-tall, hairy-covered creature standing there staring at him. And he said, my God, that thing could easily just turn my vehicle over. But he went out of there. And he said he went home and he sat back in his chair. He had an old house and was with high ceilings. And he said, my God, that thing was as tall as my ceiling. And he said he never would go back out in the woods again after that. He spent year after year in the woods.
Wow.
And, you know, you brought up, Gene, you brought up a few minutes ago, you talked about, could these things fly? Well, I'm not so sure they can fly, but that's something that some witnesses have brought up. And I remember that detail from one outstanding Bigfoot case. And this was a fellow, I rarely use names because most people don't want their names used. This gentleman in particular gave me permission to use his name after his incident because actually after he saw it and he became a little more adjusted to what happened, he actually went on some radio and TV shows with me back in 73 to tell the people that it is real. I didn't believe it. I saw it myself. It's out. Something's out there. But anyhow, this fellow's name was Chester. This happened outside of Latrobe, Pennsylvania, not far from the ridge, in a little town named Whitney, Pennsylvania. I believe it was Labor Day morning, 1973. The night before, he and his wife and neighbors were sitting on their patio outside, and they were reading the local paper that was covering some of the Bigfoot stories in the area. And they were just howling and laughing and making fun of this thing. And he's laughing out loud, come on, Bigfoot, come on, Bigfoot, I want to see you. Well, lo and behold, about 4 o'clock in the morning, he's asleep, his wife's asleep, and he hears this big bang against her mobile home. And he gets up to look in the dark, he left the lights out. He thought somebody was breaking into his garage behind his mobile home because he had a nice antique car there. And he looks out the window, and standing right on the opposite side of the window, so within a foot or two away from him, but its back is looking away from him, is this 8 to 9 foot tall hairy creature with long arms, holding the arms in front of its body, looking away from him towards the house next door.
Let's continue with the story. Oh, I tell you, don't go to sleep after this. You're going to get up real fast. Stan Gordon, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you can actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hawaii was a wake-up call. Don't be caught without a disaster shelter. Atlas makes an all-disaster shelter that will protect your family from fallout, tornadoes, and hurricanes for only $99.99. That also includes the NBC air filtration system. Solid steel construction with an airtight, bulletproof door. That's right, for $99.99 and up. Call 1-855-4-BUNKER or go to iwantthatshelter.com. Atlas Survival Shelters, the world leader in fallout shelters.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend's Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
The stuff of nightmares. Would you like to confront one of those creatures, Stan Gordon? But it's never happened to you. It's not happened to me. And I kind of feel better that it hasn't.
Well, you just don't know what you're missing out on, dude.
Well, some things I don't mind missing.
Would you like me to finish that episode, or was it an interesting one?
Yes, indeed, please.
We're waiting with bated breath.
Okay, take the bait out of my breath so we can go on.
So he was looking out the window, sees the thing. He lays the lights out. He goes over and awakens his wife. He said, that thing they call Bigfoot, it's out on our patio. So she goes to the window and looks, and oh, my God, oh, my God. Well, this poor fellow was, he was a retired coal miner at emphysema, and between hardly being able to breathe and so scared, he makes his way up to the phone, bumps the wall, which may have scared it away at that point, dials O for the operator, and tells the operator he needs to talk to the state police. And he calls the state police and tells them what happened. I heard the radio call go out. They had six troopers there and three cars. And a trooper called me from the scene to come out there that morning. And when the troopers got there, they found that Chester had cut the grass the night before. And there was a whole series of tracks going across the freshly cut grass, across his patio steps, and went down over the hill across the road. Some of the troopers followed the tracks for a distance. But at one point, the track suddenly stopped and disappeared up in his yard, and Chester said to me, I don't understand how this thing could just, these tracks could just suddenly stop. He said, do these things fly? So that's what brought back that story.
Right.
And I can tell you, Chester and his wife afterwards were so upset, they packed their clothes up for a short time and left her home. That wasn't the only family that did that. That was the kind of impact it had on the witnesses. When he came back, he decided that he was wanting to share his story, so he did some media events with me. But that was one of those cases of somebody that would never believe these things are real until they had their own encounter.
Yeah, and you brought up a very interesting point before, that you talk to people years later, and I think some investigators in our shoes have gotten used to it. It's not a surprise anymore that people have really been changed by these experiences, and they had a profound impact on their reality view, their ways of looking at their surroundings, you know, impact their behavior, not wanting to go out in the woods again, that sort of thing. You know, when people say that, oh, these are just people with overly fertile imaginations or, you know, hoaxers, people that are looking for attention, you know, I beg to differ. Sure, there's probably a few of those types out there, but I think the majority of at least cases that I've investigated and the vast majority of witnesses that I've encountered and talked to, they all seem legitimately impacted by their experience, and it just makes, I think, most people more curious, really. It makes them really want to get answers. And basically what I'm hearing from you, Stan, is pretty much the same thing, that these are life-changing and life-altering experiences, and they really do impact people.
Yeah, no, I was at an event speaking over the weekend, and a fellow approached me, and I did a long interview with him then, and I got to meet his parents, actually. And this fellow has been hunting all his life. He's been camping out all his life. He pretty much knows what's going on out there. And whatever happened to him just several months ago in an area where I've had a history of Bigfoot encounters, it has scared him so bad. He said, I was never so frightened in my life. And he said, I love the woods. I love the forest. He said, I'll never go back to that area again. He said, there was something out there. And he said, just the vocalization, the depth of the sound, the screams this thing was making, was ungodly. It was unbelievable. And that's something I hear commonly over the years from people. Just last year, up along the Chestnut Ridge in January, as I have for many years, people were calling me, telling me here about these long, very long, siren-like screams that they were hearing. You know, a lot of these people lived in the mountains and in the woods, and they know the wildlife out there. They lived there all their life, and they know the sounds that deer make, and the birds make, and coyotes do, and these were completely different sounds. And interestingly, I think it was 2 days later after I got to report up on the ridge, from the other side of the state down in Schuylkill County, down towards Philadelphia, a wildlife biologist contacted me. He was very, very skeptical of Bigfoot, but this guy has done work in the wildlife field for years and years. His job is to be able to identify animal sounds. That's what he does for his living. And he was out in the woods in a particular area. I believe he told me he heard it three times in 2 days. He wasn't prepared to hear anything. He tried to record these sounds, but his equipment wasn't good enough. But he described this very long, very vocalized, very loud siren-like screams that he could not identify. Very similar reports I had up in this part of the state 2 days before. He was perplexed by it, and he said, I've always been skeptical of Bigfoot, but he said, I don't know what kind of animal could make it sound like that. once again, credible people are seeing these things. Just like with UFOs, with Bigfoot, I've interviewed people from all walks of life, from children, men, women, police officers, and hunters, and doctors, and executives, and school teachers, and all kind of credible people who have seen these things. And they have no reason to make up the story because 99.9 of them have never gone public with their accounts. They have nothing to gain by it. But many of them are just very, very shook up over the event and just want some answers. And unfortunately, you know, we don't have a, we got theories. We just don't have a lot of answers.
Chris, you have some more questions from our audience.
We're kind of running out of time here, though.
Let's go through as many as you can. Chris?
Well, along those same lines, Eric the Red Stand has another question about the whole acceptance of this particular phenomenal mystery. As people have been pointing out the last couple, 3 weeks, there seems to be more of, all of a sudden, more acceptance of UFOs because of this recent Pentagon, I guess, the revelation about Pentagon interests. Which I'm sure you and the vast majority of our listeners know what I'm talking about. And here's another question that deals with that realm, but with Bigfoot. And that is, there are an unprecedented number of recorded firsthand encounters with Bigfoot. And every week, a variety of Bigfoot-related podcasts feature firsthand testimony from alleged eyewitnesses. The social penalty for reporting these experiences is probably diminishing over time. Do you have any sense, Stan, of the timeline we might be in for general, you know, public acceptance of the existence of these creatures? How close are we to getting some sort of consensus? You know, something short, obviously, of a bona fide remains or absolutely slam dunk physical scientific evidence. At the rate we're going now, how long would you see before general acceptance of these creatures?
It may be one of those things, just like with UFOs. You know, yes, when that report came out, I believe in December, and there was a lot of publicity about it, I mean, that may have helped to encourage some people to talk. But with the UFO phenomena, yes, having started my research back in 1959 and talked to thousands of UFO witnesses, I mean, periodically over the years and in more and more recent years, with all the TV shows about it, with all the Internet information about it, people are more and more willing to discuss the UFO phenomena. As the many lectures I give and places I speak about it, I see a huge public interest in all these reports, both UFOs and Bigfoot, and people are more and more willing to talk about the UFO stuff.
Okay, I got to break it here. I have to break it. With Gene, Chris, and Stan, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hawaii was a wake-up call. Don't be caught without a disaster shelter. Atlas makes an all-disaster shelter that will protect your family from fallout, tornadoes, and hurricanes for only $99.99. That also includes the NBC air filtration system, solid steel construction with an airtight, bulletproof door. That's right, for $99.99 and up, call 1-855-4-BUNKER or go to iwantthatshelter.com. Atlas Survival Shelters, the world leader in fallout shelters.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in.
Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Warning! If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So a little bit later, we'll get into more of the public attitude, and I want to ask you more about that, particularly with regard to UFOs. You want to hit a question or two more, Chris?
Here's one. I don't see very many of these reports coming from your neck of the woods, although there are some. So what do you think of dogmen and this whole resurgence of interest in lycanthropy, wolfmen, dogmen types? And how do we assess the weight of personal testimony of dogmen in light of theoretical objections like absence of archaeological evidence or presumed insufficient ecological support for such large and hypercarnivorous predators? So many alleged sightings of dogmen are in daylight or at close to medium ranges. Is it possible that all such reports are misidentifications or hoaxes? Is there something real behind these?
What we want to discuss here is a very deep, very long, very unusual what I've been coming up with over the years. I've heard of the dogmen reports for many years. There have been quite a number of sightings, apparently in Pennsylvania. I know of other researchers who are investigating numerous alleged dogman sightings over the last few years, even this year, I understand. I know the last several months they've had reports coming in. Yeah, the dogman reports, there's similarities with some of the Bigfoot reports, and it may be that it's not something really new. Yeah, along the Bigfoot reports that I've had, these, again, were not in the distance, but some of these were at extremely close range, even in daylight, very detailed reports. And, you know, when I went go back to 1973 with this major Bigfoot outbreak and my teams investigated, a lot of the Bigfoot reports, and this is what I wrote about my solid invasion book where I go into great detail about it. I think you've read the book. And there were a lot of your so-called typical 6 to 9 foot tall, hairy, man-like creature with long arms being reported. But there were some variations as well. Some of those reports would be very much like the dogmen reports today. because some of those cases involved creatures that were seen that the faces were, while covered with hair, some witnesses said that the face was more wolf-like, and they had very apparent fang-like teeth. Some of those reports, he had the luminous glowing eyes, which you still do, even with many of the Bigfoot reports, where he had the self-luminous glowing eyes, where there's no reflective light, there's no artificial lighting in the area, there's no full moon. These are conditions where there shouldn't have been any type of illumination produced from the eyes of the creature, not like night shine you see on deer, for example. And many hunters have told me about seeing this. This was completely unnatural, the luminosity that they saw from the eyes of these creatures. But the Dogman phenomena is just another one of these entity reports. And in a few minutes, I'll tell you about this very strange entity that a police officer encountered on patrol just several months ago here in western Pennsylvania. I deal with all kinds of strange creatures. I'm dealing with creature reports and things that people probably never even heard about, that I've never even heard about in the last few years. We have the flying humanoid sightings, or winged humanoid sightings. We have dragon reports. And these are coming from people, again, who are reluctant to tell you about it, are gaining nothing about it. In some cases, there's more than one witness reporting the same thing in the same area. With Bigfoot, and again, it's so complex. We could talk for hours and hours about this. I have a whole new lecture I do just on this phenomena called Strange Aspects of the Elusive Bigfoot, of all the weird, weird things I'm covering with Bigfoot, which makes you scratch your head because it just suggests that we're dealing with something that may be other than flesh and blood, which is why there's no bodies. And right. One thing I discovered a long time ago with the footprints. You got your typical five-toe footprints that we've seen all over the country. Chris, you've had them out in your area, of course. They see them all over the country in many parts of the world. And then you get the three-toe tracks, which were very common in the 70s. They continue to be reported on and off in Pennsylvania and other states and other parts of the world. You've got four-toe tracks. And then there's a whole menagerie of other footprints that I've made casts out. I've seen pictures of. There were no indications of hoaxes, and sure, we've had hoax cases. And there's ways to tell the difference. Again, I had groups of scientists and engineers working with me for years, and again, these were fresh tracks. We were on the scene sometimes within minutes and hours, so we were documenting all these things as they were occurring. The whole thing is this. You've got reputable people. You've got similar evidence of a widespread area. You've got patterns to the phenomena, but it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's strange enough to consider that you have one unknown type of species with a Bigfoot running around for years and years. How can we have multiple species of these things running around? And then you look into the Dogman reports, the Thunderbird reports. I'm getting these giant bird sightings for years and years. The Black Panther reports, which are out-of-place animals, have been seen in Pennsylvania for years and other parts of the country and around the world. Same thing. They quite often show up in areas where there's other phenomena going on, Bigfoot activity going on. The strange thing is, over the years around the country, there have been incidents where more than one cryptid has been seen together at the same time and place, which a lot of people don't know about or don't want to talk about. The phenomena, I said years ago, is so strange that who can believe it? Whoever will believe it?
Well, so what do you think is going on, Stan? I mean, are we dealing with a purely nuts and bolts thing, or is there some sort of co-creative process, as Greg Bishop would say? Are we somehow helping manifest the quality of these apparitions or these appearances?
I'm not so sure anybody has the answers. I'm not so sure the government has all the answers. I think if they're interested, from what I've seen in some cases I've been involved in, what I've heard from others, that I think the government has the answers both in the Bigfoot and the UFO phenomena. And long ago, I began to notice that, one, many very low-level close-range UFO encounters and many encounters with cryptids, Bigfoot, and other strange creatures commonly occur in the vicinity of high-energy sources. They occur around power plants, high-tension power lines, gas wells, radio towers, reservoirs, railroad tracks. This is a very common thing. I have no doubt there's an energy connection to this phenomena. It seems as though we're dealing with a phenomena that has a physical and a non-physical component to it, that under certain conditions, which we don't know exactly what they are, they seem to come into our physical reality. They can look physically solid. Sometimes they don't, however, and they can leave evidence and they're gone. They come and they go, which is why there's no bodies. And I'm not the only researcher who's been flying some of this over the years. I know many other people, Nick Redford and Linda Moulton Howe and others have had cases like this. There are many other ones who have had cases like this as well. And it may be much more common than we realize. It's such a strange phenomenon. And some of the incidents are so strange that some researchers I know told me years ago they were reluctant to publish it because they didn't want to be laughed at. And others or just rather pretend it doesn't exist. My position as a researcher is I don't have the answers, but this is what is showing up, and it's something that should be looked into much more seriously.
Well, that you kind of opened up a whole other question here that Eric Red has, and people seeing Bigfoot. And he's wondering if any familiarity with Bigfoot enthusiasts reveals the depressing fact that worthless photographic evidence is routinely cited as exciting proof of Bigfoot's existence. And he's wondering, do Bigfoot look like blob squatches or blurry to each other? Pareidolia runs rampant. How do you account for this in your research? Why are there no really good quality still photographs of Bigfoot? There are very, very few.
I guess we can say the same thing, Chris, about UFOs. And we're going to break in a moment, so I don't want to start with the answer now and have to interrupt you right in the middle about the photographs. We should also cover the fact that we've got the act for the Paracast radio show where you never know what's going to happen next. We have fascinating extra segments for an existing episode, special guests, sometimes guests hang out and talk about more stuff. And if you want to know more about how to get yourself a download of that show, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. We also give you a version of this show free of network ads and more stuff, plus.theparacast.com. And if you visit our YouTube channel, the official Paracast channel on YouTube, we have a sample of After the Paracast and the ad-free version of the Paracast, our 10th anniversary shows. More to come with Stan Gordon. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation Analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Gene and Chris on the Paracast, and we're talking here with Stan Gordon, longtime UFO paranormal researcher. So Chris asked the question of you with regard to the lack of clear photos of Bigfoot, but I think in large part we could also mention UFOs because there are very, very few clear pictures of UFOs, and unfortunately, a large portion of those are not real. What's going on?
Well, I agree with you 100%, and that's a very interesting question. And I can tell you, I do receive many photographs and game cam pictures and videos of alleged UFOs and even cryptids on occasion. And you're correct. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people are reputable, but unfortunately, a lot of the pictures basically are not going to prove a thing. There could be something interesting on it, but they don't show enough detail. I mean, I've seen some very interesting game cam pictures where you can see very long hair hanging off a body, but there's not enough detail to be sure what it was. And we do get UFO pictures in. We get some interesting UFO pictures in. There was videos taken of an object last year, which we did a lot of analysis on, and we don't know what it is, but it's just not enough detail to be certain of it. But a couple things. One, the reason, my feeling is the reason there's a lack of really good pictures is, one, a lot of this is a short-lived phenomena. With UFOs, it might be a matter of seconds, even with cryptids. With Bigfoot, they run out calmly in front of people's cars. Well, it was a matter of seconds. The people are so shocked when they see it with UFOs, the same thing, when these low-level sightings, they're so shocked by what they're seeing, they're sitting there studying it, looking, these things aren't supposed to exist, and people tell me all the time, I wasn't even thinking about grabbing my camera, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And then, Anyhow, as I brought up earlier, some people have attempted to take pictures with their cell phones and digital cameras, and interestingly, the camera at that time malfunctioned. I told you about the one where the woman had the object hovering over Route 30. She tried to take a picture with an iPhone. It worked perfectly well before and after. It would not let it go into the photo mode. I think it was 2 years ago. This is up in the mountains up towards Donegal. Early morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, a beautiful morning. This fellow is sitting there by his window drinking a cup of coffee. His dog's lying there, and all of a sudden, it got completely dark. And he thought, well, that's strange. It's like there's no rain. Like, what's causing everything to get dark? So he immediately got up, grabbed his fully charged camera, walked out the door. His dog, which always follows him, refused to go outside. The guy walked outside in his yard, and 500 feet above him is this huge, solid, black, triangular object that's hovering there, making no sound. He immediately grabs his camera, his phone, to grab a picture. It immediately discharges and lost all its power. That is something I hear about more and more in recent years. There have been, and I know it's not just in Pennsylvania. And this is a phenomenon that those in the paranormal field commonly talk about power loss with their cameras as well. But so there is a number of different reasons why that people aren't able to come up with pictures. The phenomenon is short-lived in some cases. In other cases, people are so amazed at what they're seeing, they're studying phenomena, not thinking about taking a picture. And in some cases, people have attempted to take pictures, and their equipment malfunctioned. But on occasion, we have gotten some pretty good photographs in, but it's not enough to say, well, these things are, who knows, extraterrestrial, interdimensional, time travelers, many, many theories out there, but I'm not so sure that any of us know for sure. And I said years ago, there's more than one origin for the unknown category of UFOs.
Yeah, and the point to mention here, too, is in the early days of the UFO field, we had lots of stories about so-called electromagnetic effects, where a UFO or UFO flies overhead and the car stops. So this is not unusual. It's an ongoing thing. And also the problem is here, in addition to being nervous if you see something strange, and we all have these great cameras now on our pockets or purses. We have iPhones. We have Samsung, which makes very good cameras. And we have all this, but then most people who are listening, even with all those great cameras, we have another problem. When people are, say, walking on the street, and they are busy looking down at their smartphones, they're not looking straight ahead, or we hope they are if they're crossing the street. They're certainly not looking up to see what could be going on up there. So that's unfortunate, but it also means a lot of opportunities might be lost.
Yeah, and I had an incident last year, and I believe it's still on my website. If you scroll back through old cases, you know, I remember many years ago, people used to say to me about UFO sightings, well, how come people only see these things over rural areas? Well, they don't. There are multitudes of sightings over populated areas here in Pennsylvania, the big cities, Harrisburg, Philadelphia, on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, Pittsburgh. I believe it was November of last year, a businessman was coming out of his office in downtown Pittsburgh. He was near the Mon River. He happened to look up, and just for a few seconds, he sees his object falling straight down from the sky, and it looks like it actually went into the Mon River, and he captured a few seconds of video and got some pretty good pictures of whatever this thing was.
What about, in terms of UFOs, what do you think are the best UFO photos you've seen?
Oh, my gosh. You know, over the years, you know, I've seen all the classic photographs that have been taken. There are some that have been taken locally here that I looked at and we investigated firsthand, which I consider them to be good ones. They're not pictures that are widely known, but cases we investigate over the years. And some of those I consider to be very, very good. Are they proof that they're extraterrestrial? Definitely not, or interdimensional, or whatever they might be. But they're indication there's something we were not able to identify easily. And I know there's a lot of good pictures out there, but you're correct. A lot of the pictures we see, and I've got some in even very recently, they're just nothing that's going to be able to identify for sure or give us any really good indicator of what we're dealing with. And the digital cameras today, you know, because of electronic circuitry in them, they're not designed really to take photographs at night and try to focus on an image. And because of electronic circuitry in them, they can produce all kinds of false images. And some of the false images look very, very strange indeed, and they're completely different what people actually saw. So you've got to really look at these reports, and you've got to have a good analyst that really has the knowledge how to really figure out what exactly we're seeing in the pictures.
Do you find much cases of fakery?
Believe it or not, as I mentioned, you know, my hotline's been open since 1969. I've dealt with thousands of people. And it's very, very rare that we have a really overt hoax case. And when those generally happened, for example, back in the 73 with that UFO Bigfoot wave, and there was a lot of news coverage after the story began to come out. We had been having reports for weeks before there was any publicity on it. But when that came out, Yeah, some of the local kids were cutting their wooden footprints out and making tracks. Very, very easy to tell the difference between a fabricated track and something legitimate. And then, again, we would be out of other investigations, and people were calling in and seeing strange footprints, and some of them were huge and very odd-looking, but we were able to determine that what they were, it was due to the change in the weather conditions, the temperature conditions. For example, we found that a bear in the area, the back foot would meet up with the right foot, it would freeze and fuse together, then it would melt and expand and look like huge, giant footprints. So there's a lot of things that if you're out there really doing an investigation, a lot of things look very strange, but sometimes there are explanations for them. We actually receive very few hoaxes. Most of them are very, very easily determined very quickly, so we don't have to spend a lot of time on them.
Well, I hope we'll start finding more things out there to get us to an end game. Let me ask you a question that's a little outside of where we've been going, which is mostly case history, sightings here, sightings there, and something that will extend to our next segment. And that's about the witnesses themselves. Have you guys had the chance at all to profile the people who tend to see these things, whether any particular ethnic category, age category, or anything else might be more prevalent in terms of paranormal events? Very interesting thing. Later this month, we'll be completing 12 consecutive years of the PowerCast. We'll continue with the greatest guests ever. Jerome Clark will be returning soon with a discussion about his new article for Fortean Times about the 1897 airship mystery. Nick Redfern has another book out. We'll be talking to him. A lot more coming. Stan Gordon, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, you're in
the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive PowerCast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the PowerCast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a PowerCast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.thepowercast.com, store.thepowercast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the PowerCast. You go to store.thepowercast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
One out of four people listening to my voice right now could die from heart disease. This could be your last year, and you don't even know it because you don't know the early warning signs. If you think you're safe because your cholesterol levels are normal, think again, because studies show that 75% of heart attack patients also had normal cholesterol levels. Let me introduce you to Strauss Heart Drops, a world-famous heart and brain formula made in Canada. It's time-tested and will give you clinical results in 90 days or your money back. Learn more at signsofheartdisease.com. They are shipping free this month.